And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 135. Gonna give you a little week 9 fab preview as we do on Thursday nights each and every week of the regular season. Talk some recent news and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on the Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bluefield, how we doing, my friend?
We're doing great. We had the preschool graduation tonight for our youngest. So time really does fly. I know everyone says that when you have kids, but it was pretty cool. I had to wear his little cap and got his little diploma. So that was cool. That was a highlight of my day. I don't know what the highlight of your day was, man. You took a couple pictures of just massive amounts of food that you cooked today, presumably not just in celebration for Luis Rengifo's return from the IL. I got to ask, man, how much food did you cook today?
A lot. We fed almost 200 people for lunch and about 450 to 500 for dinner. So, yeah, it was a big day. But the high noons were for Luis Rengifo's return, not the food. So
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. So just, it was a celebration. The mascot's back, and that's always a great thing.
I'm surprised. I'm just impressed at your stamina. I'm impressed at your stamina. Eating, grilling, and high noons all day. And here you are.
40 years of practice, my friend. 40 years 40, of practice. Yeah. We'll do this for you.
Just started grilling beef at 6 months and then noons at 5 years old.
You can't just wake up and do these things. You have to train for this. And yeah, it's been years of practice. Let's put it that way. Years of practice.
It looked impressive. The food looked amazing. Someday I will have to get down there and try it.
You'll have to try it out. And contrary to the expectations of many, that was not all for me. I barely actually had any. So it wasn't even for me, really. I nibbled. We always have some for the crew, but that was not a me thing. So you keep your fat jokes to yourself if you'd like. But
I used your picture of, you know, you took a picture of grilling, like there's like 500 damn chickens in the picture, and to bait it for listener questions tonight, there were a couple, you know, how many whole chickens did you eat?
Serrano, I'm not in a slump. We're good. So we're good over here in this neck of the woods. Don't you all worry about that. I did have a cinnamon roll because it's our county fair, which we're doing this for. So got to have a cinnamon roll at the county fair. It's kind of how it works.
It's the American way.
Yes, it was good. It was good. Watching the little one have some fun. She's at that age where it's starting to all come together slowly but surely. And it was great. The only thing that sucked is she was like a half inch too short to ride most rides, depending on which carny was operating the ride. Like some rides they would let her on, some they're like, no, we can't. So that was a bummer trying to explain that to her every time, like the yes and no's of the situation. But other than that, it went really good. It's fun, as you know, watching them grow up and like learn new experiences and do things. It's one of the better parts of being a parent. So that was a pretty cool thing.
Plus, you can hype her up for next year because she actually will be tall enough.
That's what we told her. There's like another big fair we go to in about 2 months. And I'm like, hey, you might have that half inch in 2 months, kid. We're going to go have some fun. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. So, yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be cool. But I think people are here for some fantasy baseball goodness, which we'll try to bring to you as we do twice a week, as usual. So not a ton of news since we last talked on Tuesday. Not a ton. We did have a little, though. Nick Lodolo hit the IL with a groin injury, a groin strain, as they say. So there's really no like talk on the severity of the injury yet. So that's kind of an up in the air situation. It's 15 day IL pitching IL situation, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. They had a bullpen game on Thursday as we speak, actually pitching against the Dodgers, and they're doing pretty well in that regard. But what's your thoughts on this Lodolo thing? Because, like I said, we don't really have a full gamut of information yet.
Yeah, not sure what on Lodolo yet. I mean, you're just holding, waiting for more info. And it does, yeah, it sounds like it's a bullpen game. It was a bullpen game tonight and quite effective at L.A. They are imagine that. The Reds' bullpen is shutting out the Dodgers in L.A. But it was like Brent Suter, Emilio Pagan, some other dude, and then Nick Martinez pitched 4 innings tonight, and in that kind of Ryan Yarbrough piggyback role, gave up 1 hit, 3 Ks in a time where we are all desperate for wins. And at least I lamented this on the show and actually followed up with a tweet this morning about how pitcher wins have just been maddening this year. Maybe Nick Martinez is somewhat interesting if that role sticks around. I mean, that's probably what the Reds are going to do. is have Martinez, I don't know, pitch three or four innings. And if it is in relief, if it is in a piggyback, some chance for some wins and decent ratios there, I guess.
Yep. No, I agree. Like he was the initial reports where he was supposed to come in after Suter, but then they did the whole like pitching Pagan and a few other things. So it lined up even better for Martinez to potentially get the win. It's still the Dodgers, so I count nothing out until that game is over.
Yes.
But yes, it does line us up for like the Yarborough stuff, like you've been talking about. That could be fun, as you put out that tweet today, that there's been a lot of great starts where there's been no wins for aces. Like you mentioned some guys on Tuesday. I even texted you last night, like, add Ryan Yarborough to the list. Like, it just continues to go on as a lot of these guys are putting together some nice starts, not picking up the win. And then we laughed, like, we both had Sonny Gray going, who got hit around, but he got the win the other night. So there's no perfect science to this situation.
Not at all. Not at all.
Garrett Whitlock, this is not a perfect science, but maybe he can get you some wins coming up here. He completed a pretty stellar rehab start on Wednesday, going 4 2/3, 61 pitches, threw very, very well. Red Sox like what they saw. He's feeling good. He's expected back in the Red Sox rotation early next week. Lines up for Tuesday against Tampa Bay as of now, then it's a two-step the following week. So if you've held on to Whitlock, kudos. If for some reason he's sitting on the wire, this is a dude you might want to look at for sure.
And I checked before the show, Whitlock is 86% owned in NFBC 12 teamers. So it's worth just taking a look just to see if, because injuries are everywhere. Some players had to drop Garrett Whitlock. So just take a look. Red Sox rotation is healthy again, man.
Coming back to life.
Like, I think they're basically they are at full strength. Yep. So Cooper Criswell, I guess, is on the outs, who I guess that's just one less potential streamer in the free agent pool. Cooper Criswell actually pitched well. 2.10 ERA, 101 whip in 25 innings with a 20% strikeout minus walk. Not usable right now. But as we know, more injuries will come and six starters will get that opportunity, as we'll talk about here in a couple more news items down. So Cooper Criswell, nice job. Probably out of the rotation for now, but he'll be back.
Yep, most definitely. Jorge Soler, he played in his second rehab game on Thursday against for Sacramento, AAA team for the Giants. Soler's expected back on Friday, so get him back in your lineups if you feel like it. You can wait a week until Monday if you'd like, but Soler should be back. Not sure if you have anything on that one.
Nah, just the BP cage ricochet off the dome turned out to not be a big deal, which is good.
Yeah, I'm just curious who they send down. I think they want to keep Matos and Ramos up there. So I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. Because
I know Soler's a DH, but it's still, there's a lot of moving pieces there in that team. Maybe Luciano goes back down and they go that direction. We'll see how that plays out.
Do you think your boy Elliott loses? I guess it's been, I mean, the DH has been Wilmer Flores every day.
Yeah.
But he'll keep playing against lefties, I would think.
He should, but which maybe means Wade doesn't play versus lefties every time now, like he's been playing. That could be the end, because when they're healthy, Wade and Flores essentially just platooned. That was the main situation there. But like I said, when healthy, the Giants are far from healthy at this point in time. So I'm just curious who goes. I kind of feel like it's Luciano, and they let Fitzgerald play shortstop or Casey Schmidt play shortstop, but we'll see how that plays out. Tyler McGill of the New York Mets, he's rehabbed and ready to rock and roll. He's expected to rejoin the Mets rotation early next week. That's the initial reports, at least. And right now, McGill is slated for a two-step next week at Cleveland and versus the Giants, which is pretty sweet if Tyler McGill is hanging around for you out there, because, one, the Giants are just garbage. But Cleveland has kind of set back quite a bit. And McGill's only 6% rostered in 12s, so that's a fun one we will definitely talk about tonight.
Yes, and a quick preview of our pitcher CBS ad list. It is awful. So Tyler McGill, certainly, like you said, if he gets that two-step, that would be sweet. And I don't think – I mean, does anybody even get booted from the Mets rotation? They weren't even – I mean, Adrian Hauser moved to the pen, as he should.
Luke Casey made a Scott's spot start. He got sent back to AAA on Thursday. Yeah. I'm guessing that's kind of where the move takes place.
Yeah, it'll be Severino, Manaea, Scott, Quintana, and McGill.
McGill.
Wonder how long McGill lasts, but I don't think we really care. I mean, pick him up, ride him while you can use him, because he has looked pretty good in rehab, for what it's worth.
Yep, and rehab. Looks very, very nice. Last bit of news here. Taiwan Walker left his start on Thursday with a foot contusion. As of now, he's day-to-day. We'll kind of see how that plays out. But on the bright side, that might mean Spencer Turnbull is back in our lives in the starting rotation for the Philadelphia Phillies. Turnbull is 54% rostered in OCs, so widely available if it turns out that he gets to start. And if he takes Taiwan Walker's spot next week, looks like it's against Texas. So pick your poison on that one.
And that is the sixth starter I was alluding to earlier, where it just, you know, he's coming back and will be back in the rotation. It's just a matter of when. So Spencer Turnbull, I mean, we had talked about him a little bit, like certainly pitching over his head. Anyone with a 2.11 ERA is pitching over their head. The ERA skill indicators or whatever kind of peg Spencer Turnbull as a mid threes ERA guy. I don't even know if he's that good. I think more of like a four. But I know I'm probably more pessimistic. I just don't like the swing, strike, and the ball rate for Spencer Turnbull. 10% and 40% respectively, both are worse than league average. But hey, the Ks have been there. League average walk rate and a ton of ground balls for Turnbull. And as we continue to harp on pitcher wins, should get some run support in Philadelphia. Should.
Yep, should. Should being the key word. I'm 100% with you on that one. But moral of the story is look who's rostered in your leagues, because like Uncle Ted said, Alec Burleson is 98% available in Yahoo, which, depending on the week and the matchups, that's probably too much.
So, Alec Burleson. I think he's
Burleson. Look at this. You got Shea Bengaliers. You got Alec Burleson. It's a fun time to play some baseball, folks. It's also a fun time for Fab, Ryan. So let's get crack-a-lackin' on our Week 9 Fab of the Week here. As usual, folks, we'll go team by team on this one. And go over the schedules for the week. And then we will also look at the most added players in CBS. We'll talk to two steps and much, much more. So, Ryan, anything we should know for this stuff coming up here?
Another busy week. 8 teams with 7 games. No teams with 5. So, should be a pretty full slate of games. Our team trackers. Dodgers still far in it. Although Milwaukee and the Yankees in terms of WRC plus as a team, which is a very good, I kind of say this every week, but a very good measure of offensive production and talent, are at 120, right behind the Dodgers. So the Brewers and the Yankees are hitting the crap out of the ball. On the other end of that spectrum, it is our lowly White Sox and Marlins continuing their paper sword fight to be the worst team, the worst offense in baseball, with the Rockies not too far behind with the 81 WRC plus, White Sox 75, Miami 77. So,
and I've mentioned it in tweets and podcasts and articles. If you guys really get bored, look at some splits, because some of these teams are hitting the doldrums right now against some matchups. It's bad, real bad for certain teams. Be quite shocking, I think, when you break things down. So,
yeah,
let's get at it. Like
you tweeted the Mets against lefties over the last month have been awful.
42 WRC plus, like horrific.
Just as bad as the Mets against lefties. This is surprising, or was surprising to me. The Padres against lefties have been awful. The Padres are one of the biggest lefty righty splits teams out there. Elite against right handers, but. Not as much against lefties.
Well, Austin Gomber owns them, so you have that going for you. The Rockies actually own the Padres, which is pretty wild to think about for a Padres team like that. So we'll see. But let's go schedules here. Let's talk a little bit team by team. We'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have 6 games this week, 3 at the Los Angeles Dodgers, 3 at home against the Miami Marlins, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Makes it pretty tough to stream this week, Bloomfield.
Makes it tough to stream. So my weekly Jock Peterson, Jake McCarthy duo is not really startable this week. And actually, even McCarthy, even though I keep saying he's got a good batting average, despite the good batting average, Jake McCarthy only has 3 steals all season. So that's not great. It's been an empty batting average in certain spots, maybe like a Randall Grichuk, because he get the 3 lefties, but. Or Blaze Alexander maybe gets an extra start, but that's more so in just like daily leagues. I can't recommend either of those guys in weekly formats.
Yeah, pretty tough stuff there. We've got the Atlanta Braves. They have 7 games this week, 1 at home against San Diego, then 3 at the Cubs and Wrigley, 3 at the Pittsburgh Pirates. three lefties, four righties, and like we always say, the important Braves are already rostered.
Yep. Nothing to do here. Really. I mean, it's all set with the exception of Jared Kelnick and Duvall platooning in the outfield. And yeah, the split week 3-4, maybe Duvall in some spots, maybe Kelnick in others, but for a whole week, it's not that interesting.
Yeah. If you got the bi-weekly stuff, Duvall on the weekend has potentially, he's got Falter and Perez at 2 out of 3 starts in Pittsburgh. True.
Perez got nuked his last start. I forget.
Yeah, who Milwaukee.
Yes, but it was. Yeah, that's right. It was Milwaukee.
Yeah, they had some fun with them. So, All right, the Baltimore Orioles, they have 7 games this week. They have 3 at the St. Louis Cardinals, 4 at the wonderful Chicago Cubs, everybody. I mean, White Sox, sorry, Chicago White Sox. Same thing. Crochet is the only problem in that one. Keller, Flex, and Fede. Whew. And they get 6 righties this week for Baltimore. Again, not sure what that really means, but they get 6 righties.
Yeah, Ryan O'Hearn, that's what it means.
It's fair.
Outside of
definitely does it not mean any prospect they call up, because that just does not matter.
Yeah. So we talk. Well, I guess Kyle Stowers got called up. We talked about that, but has not started since he was called up. Actually, one thing I'm curious with, it's not really a fab pickup, but it's more on the drop side. What's up with Cedric Mullins, man? Yeah, like he is losing playing time against right-handed pitching. Did not start either weekend game against righties. Mullins did. So I'm curious, maybe Stowers starts to take some at bats from Mullins. That's one thing I would at least look at. Again, there's no real fab pickup advice here, but if you have Mullins like I do on a few teams, I'm starting to get worried about yes, I thought there was a platoon potentially and Mullins sitting against lefties, but he's starting to sit against righties, and that's worrisome.
Not good, Bob. Not good, that's for sure. Boston Red Sox, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Tampa Bay, 3 at home against Milwaukee, all right-handed pitchers. So if somehow will your Braves still available, that is the top priority this week. Otherwise, anything really stand out to you?
No. I mean, should I say Dominic Smith, or should we just
only league or deep, I guess, but I'll move on.
My man's hitting .167. With no runs, no homers, obviously.
That's bad.
And 38 plate appearance. So is doing nothing, Dominic Smith. So can't recommend him either.
Can't say we're surprised. Chicago Cubs, they have 6 games this week. They have 3 at home against the Atlanta Braves, 3 at the St. Louis Cardinals, 4 righties on the docket for you here. It's like Morton, Elder, Mikolas, Sonny Gray. You got a few guys, but do you go back to Talkman this week? Is there any interest or something like that?
No, not really. And the real struggle bus has been, I mean, I mentioned this a little bit before, but Michael Bush is really starting to press. You're starting to see it in the metrics, the last 3 weeks, last month. It really has not done anything. You've got Miles Mastrobuoni.
He's playing, going off.
Yeah, playing in the middle infield. You don't want any of that. It's the Cubs, man. Can't hit.
No.
Ian Happ just hit his second home run of the season tonight.
We have an Ian Happ question, and I mentioned on Monday's Bench with Bubba, I dropped him in 1-0-C. Happ's been struggle busting. He's in that kind of Cedric Mullins conversation, honestly. He's not losing the playing time, but the production makes you wonder if he's going to lose playing. Like, it makes you wonder if Pete Crow is actually hitting. Would Ian Happ be losing playing time? Stuff like that. So,
yeah, because Happ, I mean, even what's his, even from a real, he's still holding a good walk rate. He's still got a .333 OBP. So he's getting on base, but he has a higher OBP than slugging. That's hard to do. The .301 slug, a .333 OBP. Maybe that goes up with that second homer tonight. But similar to the Cedric Mullins comp is good, and especially from fantasy production, Ian Happ now with 2 home runs, 1 steal all season, hitting .219. Like that's your Gene Segura quiet killer, just doing nothing, sitting in your lineup every day, playing every day.
And a lot of people like to say for your top 10, 15 picks, whatever, people like to use Memorial Day as the, hey, this is it, we're done. Folks, that's next weekend. So we've gotten that far already. We've hit basically 2 months into the season. We're past the quarter mark. So
yep.
I'm not saying these guys can't turn it around. I wouldn't be shocked if Ian Happ makes me look silly, but there's nothing showing me he's going to make me look silly right now. So it's kind of like there's better options. Like, we'll have this discussion for the listener question later, but this is the time to start having those real discussions about Mullins, about Happ, about some other dudes where it's, you got to make the tough decisions here pretty soon. Mm-hmm.
Especially because those are like your mid-round guys. I still think even Memorial Day, your early-round strugglers, what can you do? You're just rolling with them. But it's these mid-round guys where, now it's time to really think. And I don't disagree at all with the drop of Ian Happ at a 12-teamer. I mean, like I said, he's doing absolutely nothing. So
he's just a waste of space on this roster at this point in time. Chicago White Sox, they have 7 games this week. They have 3 at the Toronto Blue Jays, 4 at home against the Baltimore Orioles, 6 right-handed pitchers on tap. So when we look at this Bloomfield, what are we thinking? Because White Sox have some interesting options, I'll say, to say the least.
They do. Let's do a little. So Corey Lee continues to hit. I picked up Corey Lee and bunches. I think stole a base even this week as well. Continues to do some damage. So 7 games, Corey Lee probably starts 4 or 5. So that's good. How's our boy Brian Ramos doing? Not bad, hitting .281.
He left banged up the other day. So I don't know if he's been back in the lineup yet or not.
Oh yeah, you're right. He did miss Wednesday's game with an injury. Yeah. So that's something too. I still think Ramos is like pretty lowly rostered. Making a ton of contact. None of it's particularly hard so far.
Still 6% rostered in 12s.
Okay. So Brian Ramos is at least somewhat in corner with 7 games coming up against. I mean, it's a pretty tough overall schedule at Toronto and then Baltimore. He's mildly interesting. I know your guy, Gavin Sheets. Someone you want to
a few spots. I've kind of given up hope on that one.
Given up on him. Six righties. I don't know.
Yeah, he's entered that Mike Tauchman world where he might have a game or two here and there, but it's like Sheets or Will Brennan.
Well, that's my man. I'll go. Well,
that's Brennan. My point. Okay, there you go.
Uncle Ted with Corey Lee and Brian Ramos talk. Hell yeah, this is how deep we get on a weekly basis here by going through every team.
Welcome to Bob and the Boom, everybody. This is what we do on this show just for you. So
your mic just switched, Bubba.
Yeah, I know.
Things going crazy. We're back.
Okay. No, we're back.
Yeah. It's the third time it's done at this show. I don't know what's going on with StreamYard tonight. But Brian Ramos, Corey Lee, that's what we do on this show. We give you the depth, the knowledge that you need to have here. Cincinnati Reds, they have 6 games this week, 3 against the Padres, 3 against the Dodgers, all in Great American Small Park, all versus right-handed pitching. This sets up for something very, very juicy. If maybe a Jake Fraley's out there or something, like, this is the time to have some fun.
Yeah, Jake Fraley, maybe like Will Benson's leading off against righties every day, but like, dude, what is his strikeout rate?
He's hit a couple homers this week though, which is a plus.
He has. So that's interesting. He's got, Will Benson has 5 homers, 8 steals, and hitting .194, and deservedly so, with a 40% K rate. So I think against an all-righty week, and I don't even know what Will Benson's.
I will let you know.
What's his deal? Yeah, he's 83% rostered in 12 teamers, so maybe we're going a little bit too thin or too shallow here. But Will Benson is interesting to me, leading off probably all 6 games against a pretty decent schedule. Like, they get LA, but it's Bueller, Stone. They get Michael King to start. Dude, Michael King.
Yeah, dude, don't get me started on him. I benched him the last 2 starts, started him this week.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, I benched him. I think everyone benched Michael King. Ultimate whipsaw. Benched Michael King, last week, and just destroyed the Dodgers on Friday night. So we all put him in our lineup this week against Road Rockies, and he got destroyed. So that was fun. Thank you, Michael King.
And what about this one? Mike Ford.
He has started the last 6 games playing against lefties and righties.
He's hitting 4 of 8 games.
Is he doing anything?
He's hitting 4 of 8 games with 1 homer. He's hitting a .179. But We're talking six games, Great American Small Park. You're looking at opposing pitching, swinging, like, there's off, like, Waldron's doesn't scare me. Bueller has not looked normal since coming off the IL. Stone doesn't strike anybody out, which may not be a perfect recipe in that ballpark. So I'm not saying he's going to go off, but it'll be interesting.
I like that in 15 teamers.
So Mike, like, Mike Ford or Gavin Sheets?
Damn, man.
I'd probably go Ford this week, honestly.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll drive the Ford, I guess.
Yeah, well, usually they're found off road dead. So just remember that. That's what the name stands for. All right, Cleveland Guardians. We have six games this week for the Guardians. Three at home versus the Mets. Three at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Four lefties. This is kind of a rare one where we see a heavier lefty week than usual. Doesn't come around very often. But it's Cleveland. Doesn't really, like, if David Fry ring a bell for anybody if he's out there, but I don't see a ton to go running to in Cleveland.
No, not really. I mean, their righties all kind of suck. It's Austin Hedges. It's Ramon Laureano. It's Gabriel Ayer. And it may not even be four lefties because we've got, well, Lucchesi's a lefty, isn't he?
Yeah, he's out of the rotation. That's going to be McGill.
It may be a 3-3 split. But even still, the point stands. There's no righties really on Cleveland's roster that I'm interested in. And even though I hate to besmirch the name of my guy, Will Brennan, it's a tough week to start him.
Yep, not a Will Brennan week. That is for sure. Colorado Rockies, they have six games this week. Three at the Oakland Athletics. Three at home in Coors versus Philadelphia. Three lefties, three righties. Tough. The Oakland matchups are very tasty. The Philadelphia matchups, that's a tough set of matchups there.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty fascinating, that Philly series. Freaking Aaron Nola. You've got to be kidding me, by the way.
Yep. Just remember, cross them off for next year, Bloomfield. Just cross them off now. Don't tempt yourself.
Well, I don't have any of them this year. I never get them in even years. I get them odd years, and it's he is an even odd year. I know that's not a thing, but I actually posted this the other day. Aaron Nola, where the hell was it? I can't find it now. It is wild, the year-to-year fluctuation in ERA for Aaron Nola. And, yeah, do not get him next year. Get Aaron Nola now. Here it is. 2019 ERA, 3.87 for Aaron Nola, then 3.28 in COVID year, then 4.63 in 2021, down to 3.25 the following season, even year. In 2023, 4.46 ERA for Aaron Nola, and now that's back down to 3.10. So don't know what to do with that guy. But I don't know. Colorado, is there anyone that interests you? It's not. The at Oakland, it's a tough park, and then the home against Philly, it's tough pitching. So
if anything, just keep playing Brenton Doyle. He's getting the job done. Like, that's a guy. He should be heavily rostered, but, like, some people are at least 98%. But some people keep saying, sit him on the road, play him at home. And I'm like, yeah, but he even dominated San Diego and San Diego. Like, the kid can play. He's hitting, I think, close to 300 right now with some pop and some speed. Like, just play Brenton Doyle. He's good. He's at least worthy of a fourth outfielder spot in pretty much every roster.
So. It's interesting that Jordan Beck is still playing. He started the last five games.
First career home run yesterday on Wednesday. First career home run.
So they are sticking to the Jordan Beck bit. I don't know how fruitful that will be.
I like how you say that bit. That's good.
I don't know. What's he doing? He's hitting 235, 40% strikeout rate. Does not have a barrel yet. So, I don't know. We're reaching pretty probably too far here with Colorado.
I think Nolan Jones is supposed to start his rehab, but he's supposed to be playing pretty soon. So might not be that far away. Keep that in mind also. Detroit Tigers, they have seven games this week. They get at Kansas City for three and then four at home against the Toronto Blue Jays for now. Five righties on the docket, two lefties. I keep saying, you know, Matt Vierling, Andy Ibañez, like, these are dudes that are out there that are very relevant in deeper formats or in streamings. Like, when you have seven matchups like this, those are a couple of guys that do stand out. Like, you can get to Waka. Like, Waka and Marsh, Reagans, Gossman, those have been fine. Barrios and Kikuchi, Manoa, I don't trust. He had a good start, but whatever. It's not like, on paper, might not be the easiest seven-game matchups you can find, but there's holes that this Detroit Tiger team can take advantage of.
Yeah, I don't know if Ibañez is playing enough.
What do you mean?
I think Ellie De La Cruz just got his fourth hit.
Jeez Louise, here comes another steal for Ellie.
Got his fourth steal. So, I don't think Abanez plays enough, especially it's just two lefties this week. It's not a strict platoon for Abanez, but still not playing every day. Your guy Torque, a couple home runs this week.
Torque is heating up.
Not that he's a pickup, but just as we go through these teams, I like to just pick off guys that are interesting at least.
In reality, like, why is Colt Keith playing over Andy Abanez? Let's just be real about that conversation for a second.
Yeah. He has the big contract, so I guess they're just going to ride it out with Keith. Yeah. And it's I agree, man. It's
because this Tiger team is close enough, and they're close enough to like make a run at the Central. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you're just hurting yourselves right now, boys. So,
234 OBP for Colt Keith. He is literally doing nothing. And Andy Abanez can hit. I don't know defensively what that looks like, but at least with the bat, Colt Keith has been continuing a theme of straight up rookie prospects this season, kind of crapping the bed. Colt Keith, yep.
Not cutting it, that's for sure. Houston Astros, they have six games this week, three at home against the Angels, three at the Oakland Athletics, three lefties, three righties, and your Astros are pretty much taken care of.
Yep, exactly. Lo Perfido's, he's survived
Thursday. He went deep on Thursday.
He has survived the initial slump and is still going there. So at least mildly interesting, but I think only plays against righties and only three righties for Houston this week. So even Lo Perfido is a tough start. Yep, and let's get Yonder Diaz to start hitting, man. Good God.
Yeah, Yonder Diaz, like, they keep hitting him six, thank God. So if he ever does start hitting, because Bregman just woke up. So let's hope that, you know, maybe I should cook a whole chicken for Yonder Diaz. That's what he needs. Let's get Yonder a whole chicken and send him down to the bullpen before the game. Let's have some conversations. Like, let's go do that. Yep. And get Joe Boo in there. Figure it out, boys. All right, Kansas City Royals, they have six games this week, three at home against Detroit, three at the Tampa Bay Rays, five righties on deck for Kansas City. You've mentioned Mr. Massey quite a bit. He's a nice little middle infield guy, kind of slowing down this week, but we saw that a lot last year. He'll have his moments. This could be a week for that with the matchups on deck, but it's a tough set of matchups too, so I might not want to get too excited about the Royals.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of churn at the bottom of the Royals lineup. So, like, MJ Melendez is still mostly playing every day. A lot of people wanted De'Ron Blanco to, you know, will that to happen to get an everyday gig, and has not started the last two games against righties. Is probably more of a platoon bat. So it's there's not a lot of action on Kansas City right now. I still think Massey and even mid-sized leagues is startable because he is their everyday second baseman, but outside of that, there's not a whole lot going on that's interesting on the back half of the Royals lineup.
Now, I had high hopes for the Royals this year, and it just hasn't quite come to fruition just yet, so we'll have to kind of wait and see how that one goes. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, six games this week. They got three at Houston, three at home against Cleveland, four righties on deck, and once again, it's a team that's just, outside of the wonderful return of the one and the only, the mascot, Luis Rengifo, not a whole lot of stuff you can actually take advantage of this week, I'd say.
Nope, it's a dumpster fire. Rengifo should. If Rengifo is in
platoons, I swear to God, Ron Washington. Like,
if Rengifo was in Washington's doghouse, Luis Guillerme has taken over. Yes. Occupancy of that doghouse. Did you see that? Was a horrendous quote by Ron Washington.
Yeah, that's one of those you want to learn how to lose a locker room in 30 seconds. Like, that's how you lose a locker room in 30 seconds, right?
Calls a safety squeeze for Guillerme off of I forget who was pitching. Jojo Romero, I believe, who could not throw a strike. Missed the bunt because the pitch was like 2 feet outside. And then in the post game, Washington goes, I forget his exact quote, but he missed the bunt. I didn't do anything wrong. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's bad.
Your manager, that's what you say about your player publicly. So
yeah, that's rough.
So You got to think Rengifo's in there over poor Luis Guillerme.
You would hope so. I was expecting when Rengifo got activated, like Guillerme's getting DFA'd or something. Like it felt like after that quote, it felt like Guillerme was lost for the cause these days is what it felt like.
What about Kevin Pillar? Kevin Pillar. PR.
You mean one of the Jonathan best Villar. Hitters? One of the best hitters in all of baseball the last week, Kevin Pillar.
Like you're not wrong.
No,
four I don't. Homers, four I, steals, yeah. hitting .328. I know that's not all this week, but good Lord, if you're
it's ridiculous.
It's Kevin Pillar, but like in a deep league, if you want to ride a heater, like the Angels' schedule isn't that bad this week. It's actually quite good. From an opposing K to walk ratio. So I don't know, man. I can't believe I'm hinting at a Kevin Pillar pickup, but he's on fire right now.
1% rostered. 1%.
Yeah. I mean,
Hunter Brown, which is always nice. Logan Allen, Ben Lively. Those are all nice. Then there's Bybee, Javier, Valdez, flip a coin.
Yep.
Next week isn't, it's tougher next week, but let's get to next week first before that happens. But yeah, I can't disagree. PR is definitely, in the discussion for Pillar, PR. So yeah, PR. You got, I've always said it.
Public like, relations.
That's just the, I speak a lot of Spanish for work. So the two L's together. I'm just used to it. So, yep. All right. Los Angeles Dodgers, they have six games this week, three at home against Arizona, three in Great American Small Park. As we talked about, five right-handed pitchers for the Dodgers. Problem is you find me some Dodgers to roster and we'll have a conversation.
Yep. That's the problem. Maybe someone has cut James Outman at this point, but I wouldn't pick him up off the scrap heap quite yet. We talked about Outman, I believe, on Tuesday. And I mean, should get some run. He's still playing against right-handers and the Dodgers get those five. So I don't know, but he has done absolutely nothing with the bat this year.
Yep. Nothing at all. Pajez is kind of quieting down too. So there might be a platoon situation there. It's going to be an interesting to say the least. Miami Marlins, they have six games this week. They got three at home versus Milwaukee, three at the Arizona Diamondbacks, four righties on tap. Not really looking to stream a lot of Marlins, though.
No, not really. We've beaten Nick Gordon into the ground enough. And Vidal Brujan, who is still playing every day. He's the everyday shortstop hitting like eighth. I saw somewhere where, speaking of your meat cooking expeditions all day, Jake Berger has not looked good.
No, he has not.
In his return from the IL or even all year. Jesus, three home runs, 176 batting average and 98 plate appearances for Jake Berger. And a 50, you know, you don't want someone to hit ground balls. That's Jake Berger. You do not want him. You don't want the big man hitting grounders. 54% ground ball rate for Jake Berger. Not great.
Yep. Not great at all. Something to keep an eye on. Our buddy Gialli has his ear to the pulse of the Royals.
Not Gialli in here.
Yeah, he says the Royals are about to shake up the outfield, I think, which would make sense. Melendez has been so bad. They need to do something. Like, I'm a Melendez fan, but like, at least last year you could point at his quality of contact and other things and be like, hey, he's just getting unlucky or he's close. It hasn't been the case. It's been brutal.
I think a lot of us were expecting that to like start happening by now, but they have been pretty steadfast with Melendez.
Yeah,
this week
it's pretty crazy. It's like just the Royals. We just talked about the Tigers. Like these teams in the Central that could make runs because their teams are like close. Just you got to make these moves to contend, and they're not. Milwaukee Brewers. They have six games this week, all on the road. Three at Miami, three at Boston, three lefties, three righties. Good luck.
Yeah, Bubba's Jake Bowers bit can be put to bed this week with only three righties. He's been pretty good.
Jake Bowers bit.
I mean, dude, you like the guy.
Has it paid off?
It has, yeah, man. I'm giving you some credit, but okay. I don't think you can roll with him this week.
Nah, it's tough. It's tough. You're gonna get some extra Gary Sanchez love this week.
That's a good point. That's a sneaky call, and especially with there's a lot of trickle effects to that Reese Hoskins.
Yep.
Ripple effects. I don't know. To the Reese Hoskins thing, where like indirectly Gary Sanchez maybe gets a few more DH appearances anyway. But in a lefty heavy week, if you need that second catcher, and you probably do, Gary Sanchez is. That's a good call. It's a pretty decent ad. Owen Miller is not. Yep.
No, don't fall for that one, folks. Do not fall for that one. Minnesota Twins, they have six games this week, three at the Washington Nationals, three at home against Texas Rangers, two lefties, four righties. And when we're talking K to walk percentage, juicy.
Is it? Yes, 8%. Wow. Yeah. So Mitchell Parker, Patrick Corbin, Jake Irvin, Urania, Jared Lorenzen, and Jack Leiter.
Leiter got sent back to AAA, and I don't know who's filling his.
Yeah, who knows what that? But will it be someone better than what Jack Leiter's been doing? So yeah, it doesn't really matter who that is. Yes, very juicy week for Minnesota. They are very platoon heavy, as we all know. So I mean, at this point, your Julian, Max Kepler's are probably spoken for. Maybe a Trevor Larnach, Alex Kirilloff combo, something like that.
Yeah, Larnach's only 41% rostered. I have a lot of shares of him. Some of the best contact rates in all of baseball right now, whichever Larnach. The one guy, good.
He's hitting 313. Larnach's hitting 313. He's been at least a 30% strikeout guy each season in the majors. Larnach has been. That's down to 23%, which is really good. And he's still hitting for power to go with those strikeout gains. So, and I think hitting second mostly
it's usually second or like fifth or sixth. It depends on where it rotates, but second a lot lately. So it's just one of those guys again that now could he slump in the season is horribly, yes. At the same time, this was a top prospect, like a top draft pick, and it just maybe took a little time. He was injured a lot, so maybe he's starting to figure it out. You never know. Things can happen like that in a very
how many way. Bombs for your guy Ryan Jeffers this week? Good God. Dude, that's what a hero. Call.
That's my freaking hero. What's he up to? 10 right now?
I think he's at 10.
Yeah, that was my last tweet. I think it was 10. He'll hit 3 next week.
Whoa.
I go with 3. Oh yeah, we're going 3 next week.
3-6 8.
Based on those matchups, Patrick Corbin, he might double dong on Corbin next week.
If he does, we're clipping this.
Go for it. Bring it. That's best. I'm just trusting my gut, so we never know. We'll see how it goes. All right, we got the New York Mets on tap this week. Six games, three at Cleveland, three at home against the lowly San Francisco Giants. And you get six right-handed pitchers coming your ways. That back end here might be a whole different look with Keaton Wynn potentially missing a start and a few other things. So you might get Mason Black in there. A lot of moving pieces with the Giants period right now. Not sure it's going to matter when it's all said and done. But you got six righties potentially to face the Mets. I just don't get overly excited with anybody on the Mets, at least on the waiver wire.
I know. And they just called up
Vientos,
but I don't
think it's all righties.
Exactly. I don't think he's going to play much against right-handers. Same with I love Tyrone Taylor for whatever reason, but it's the same kind of deal. I don't know how much he plays against in a righty, all righty week. So, there's not really much I'm looking at for a pickup, really. JD Martinez hit his first home run, by the way.
Holy shnikes. That's outstanding. That's great to hear.
So my 2 months of stashing have finally paid off. He's hitting for a good average. But
he's hitting for a good average. We talked like a week or so ago. It's just the playing time, and it felt like some people are saying maybe they're just ramping him up. I guess Eric Halterman kind of broke down, and the pattern made sense to kind of getting back on track type thing. So
what's Brett Beatty? Is he like
– He's slowing down. He's slowing down.
69% rostered in 12 teamers.
He's going to put slowing Vientos, down. So that's, he's gonna,
yeah.
But all righties next week, so that's fair.
That's what I'm saying. Like he might, and that's probably why Vientos is up for that platoon. But yeah. Brett Beatty, if you're desperate in a righty week against pretty bad pitching,
fair enough.
I mean, he's
enough.
Hitting the ball. Well, no, he's not. He's got a 5% barrel rate. Never mind.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, he had a week or two hot streak. Looked like he was figuring it out, and it kind of cooled down quickly yet again.
Yeah, and he's chasing a lot, hitting a bunch of ground balls. I'm quickly talking myself out of.
Because I know I added him for like $6 in an OC, and I kept him for like a week, and I'm like, yeah, that didn't go well. Let's move on. But that's why you add him for $6. We'll see where it goes. So that's what we do. New York Yankees, they got seven games on tap, and oh my. They got Seattle for four at home, and then three at the San Diego Padres. And as of right now, the New York Yankees face seven right-handed pitchers. We call this like a unicorn week if you're looking to stream. The problem Bloomfield. Who are you streaming on the New York right. Yankees? I mean,
their lefties are Soto, Verdugo, yeah. Rizzo. A lot of O's there. Like all those guys. It could be a big week for our guy, for Mr. Rizzo, yes. Ever since we...
Eight to the Rizzo. Let's go, baby.
Ever since we anointed him as the Gene Segura of 2024, he's taken off. So, I don't know. Austin Wells, if you're looking at second catchers. Outside yeah. of that, Oswaldo Cabrera is not really playing every day anymore. It's a great week for the Yankees, but it's fantasy fab wise. There's not much you can do there.
It's a great week if you already rostered Yankees. That's about it. So
exactly.
Tough one in that regard.
Oakland even Gleyber Torres, maybe.
Maybe.
God, he's been bad.
It's been brutal. It's been brutal. Oakland Athletics, they have six games this week, all at home, if that matters to you. Three against the Rockies, three against the Astros. They get Spencer Spaghetti out there, so that'll be fun. And Justin, formerly known as Verlander Ace, is out there. Four righties on the docket, though, to face the A's. So anything pique your interest on that one?
I think Ryan Feltner's there, too.
It's a good week. This A's offense is balling, so this is like a good week for your A's. It's just... Streaming A's is like Blade's out there.
Yeah, Blade's out there. Tyler Soderstrom has been picking up some momentum,
He has. He really has. He's been playing some first base with Nevin slowing down and Noda back in AAA. So that has been an angle.
He's got 21 plate appearances, two barrels already. So there is that, but he's still striking out a ton. I don't know how much stock we can put in that. Tyler Nevin all of a sudden is not an everyday player anymore.
Yep.
That was tough. I know we both were recommending him really a couple weeks ago when he was hitting second and Oakland had a good week. But similar to what you were saying, like these a lot of these streamers, like if it doesn't work out, hopefully you're not spending too much on these guys. So there's that. Oakland, I don't know. No, I got nothing else. And your boy Geloff is back.
He's back, which is nice. That is nice. So, we'll see how that one is. Joe Rico's got a good comment in the chat here. Find someone who loves you the way Ryan loves his Feltner counterpart.
Let's go.
That is Feltner, so true.
Feltner hasn't. I don't think he's. I think he starts tomorrow, and then at Oakland next week. Like, come on, we're rolling with my guy.
The powerful Oakland Athletics offense. Just remember that. Philadelphia Phillies. They have six games next week. Three. At home against Texas, three on the road against Colorado, four righties on deck. It's a phenomenal set of matchups. Problem is, there's really no one to add in Philadelphia.
Agreed. Bryson Stott is still not playing every day, which is
crazy because he's balling out right now.
And maybe I shouldn't say that. He's played most times, even against the Phillies have played a ton of lefties lately. Only get two next week, but that's a draft day regret, Bryson Stott, and similar to Stott, Alec Bohm. Those guys have been awesome, and I have zero shares of either one just because I felt like it was kind of empty batting averages for both of them. Stott maybe with a little bit more of a running game, but they are proving me wrong for sure.
Yep, Stott's getting it going. Bohm's had a great year, so. We'll see where that keeps going. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have six games this week, all at home against the Giants and the Atlanta Braves. Four right-handed pitchers on deck, but that includes Webb, Ronaldo, Morton, maybe Mason Black. So not the easiest set of righties. So is it a Jack Sawinski week? That is a million-dollar question.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it ever a Jack Sawinski week?
It's a righty-heavy week. That's when you want him. Otherwise, it's rough. It's very rough.
Yeah. And then outside of that, it's not, I don't know. Connor Joe's the other one, and Edward Olivares. Like, those guys are interesting to me, but both of those guys, Joe and Olivares, are only playing against lefties, so they're not. Again, free Edward Olivares. He's hitting, but even on Pittsburgh, he cannot hold down a regular job. So I'm giving up on that dream pretty quickly for Edward Olivares.
San Diego Padres, they have seven games this week, one at Atlanta, three at Great American Small Park, three at home against the Yankees. So quite the week there. To top it off, it's four lefties and three righties.
Yeah, might get the whatever frequent flyer points award of the week. yeah, Atlanta, Cincinnati, then back home to San Diego. There's nothing here in terms of
pickup. It's a bad week for streaming. Like, just looking initially, it's a rough week.
There's a lot of splits. Like the one golden week we've talked about so far, the two golden weeks where it's all righties has been the Mets and Yankees, and just on those two teams, there's not much you can really do there.
Yep, pretty tough. San Francisco Giants, six games this week, all on the road. Three at Pittsburgh, three at the Mets, four right-handed pitchers. Like, you could always use Lamont Wade in weeks like this. I guess we could see what the move is for Soler, and maybe you give Elliot Ramos or I just totally blanked on our center fielder.
Luis Matos.
You can give them options in deeper formats. I like Ramos more than Matos, but both have some legs in deeper formats. But just as a whole, it's the Giants, man. It's the Giants. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, I'm not bringing him up this time. I brought him up frequently last show. You went down pretty quick, Bubba, so I've abstained, but it's been all you this week.
I'll actually mention a player here, because I mentioned it on the First Pitch podcast recently. I am very, very concerned with the fact that they put Patrick Bailey back on the concussion IL like 3 games after being off the concussion IL.
Yeah, that was
IL.
Weird. Yeah.
That is a bad omen, because we've seen this with guys with concussions when that kind of situation comes back so quickly. That usually results in a much longer situation. So if you're in need of catching in a deeper format, like Blake Sable is a guy to stream for now, I'd say, to say the least. He's swinging it really well early on here, hitting 357 to kick things off since he got called up. He's got a couple doubles. Walks a bunch, but it's just empty stats because the Giants offense is bad. But if you're in need of a catcher too, Blake Sable could be a dude for you if you need him.
All right.
Seattle Mariners, seven games this week, all on the road. Yankees, Nationals, four righties, three lefties. That's another tough one, Bloomfield.
Another tough one, because, yeah, you want the seven. If it was a more righty-heavy week, you've got Josh Rojas, who is pretty much universally rostered, but Luke Raley's doing some stuff. But those guys are both strict platoon bats, and yes, it's a seven game week, but it's only four righties, and I'd say average in terms of opponent quality. So I don't know. There's not much you can do. JP Crawford. Well, I guess did he have a setback on his rehab?
Yeah. He got hit in the hand on Wednesday night, left the game, and he's getting reevaluated on Thursday.
So you may get some more. Like, I've got Dylan Moore on a few teams because he is playing shortstop every single day. Well, J.P. Crawford is out and has six steals and three homers. Like, there's something there, but that will come to an end whenever J.P. comes back.
Yep. So hopefully it's nothing major for J.P., but like we've seen CES, fractured wrist. We've seen Friedel, fractured thumb. We've seen guys come back in 2 days with no issues. So it's kind of one of those we have to wait for more information. Probably has to wait for the swelling to go down is what it's probably going to come down to for J.P. Crawford. St. Louis Cardinals, they have six games on the docket this week, all at home. Baltimore, White Sox, two lefties, four righties, it looks like. So another tough one to really get too excited about.
Yeah, and actually these last few teams, brutal, brutal pitching schedules coming up this week. A lot of red down there at the bottom of the list. Bubba, do you know who is leading off for the St. Louis Cardinals right now?
Keaton Wynn led off the last couple of days, my boy.
It's Matt Carpenter. It's Matt Carpenter. Oh, like, what is this, 2017?
God. Okay.
My man is 38 years old.
Yeah. He's hitting. First off, stop the ages stuff. Just stop that right now.
I'm 38.
I know.
I think, well, yeah. Actually, I'll be.
You got to double check real quick. Do you have to count the two, Carrie, and see where it goes?
It changes this weekend, actually. So
we got a Bloomfield birthday this weekend.
I'll be older than Matt Carpenter then.
Oh, boy. I can't even make fun of me. Sorry, I interrupted you. So what else? What other nice things do you have to say about Matt Carpenter leading off the Cardinals?
I've got one more year to make fun of you because you'll be in your 40s and me in my 30s. So
yeah, enjoy it.
I'll milk that while I can. No, I was just shocked that Matt Carpenter is leading off for the St. Louis Cardinals. And that's really all I had.
That's really bad. Like, I'd love to see Matt Thompson's face when he first saw that take place. That must have rent really, really well in the Thompson household.
I will bring it up to him at First Pitch Arizona for sure.
That's a tough one. Tampa Bay Rays, like you mentioned, we got some tough pitching matches, but they got six games this week, all at home versus Boston and Kansas City, and six right-handed pitchers. So if Brandon Lau is still out, you got some Richie Palacios love out there still, because he continues to be very serviceable if he's got righties on the docket. But what else you see in there?
I'm seeing potentially RIP to Johnny DeLuca. Like, good God. He started one game out of four this week.
Yeah.
And as a right-handed hitter facing all right-handed pitchers next week, like Johnny DeLuca, I don't think you can start him. And if you can't start Johnny DeLuca,
you gotta cut him.
I think you gotta cut him. He was at least popular in 12s.
That's just a weird dynamic, because it's been five straight righties. He played the first one, sat third one, then he sat the last two. Like, what are we doing?
And I think started, 12 in a row? Nine in a row? Yeah. Something like that when he got called up. It's just – and then Fab hits and a new week starts and just – he's gone.
He's still hitting .281 with a home run, 10 RBIs and two stolen bases, striking out 10.5% of the time with a near 16% walk rate. Yeah, let's play Jose Siri. That sounds freaking awesome.
Michael in the chat, this is a good point, and this is around the time of year where we start to pick up in-season eligibility. Palacios just played his 10th game at second base, and so as a lefty, Richie Palacios should play a bunch and get that middle, that sweet, sweet middle infield eligibility to go along with, what is he, outfield?
Yep, outfield. That's
correct. Outfield middle is pretty nice to have.
Man, that will be very, very nice. I'm still kind of angry with this DeLuca thing at the moment. So
it's so weird, dude. It makes no sense.
I mean, at least justify it to me. Like, the guy sucks versus like lefties or righties or something. Like, this makes zero sense at all.
And even like, I mean, I love Ahmed Rosario. I understand why Ahmed Rosario got
his platooning.
Exactly. DeLuca, it just came out of nowhere.
Jose Siri is garbage at the plate. Like, he's a great defender, but he's garbage at the plate. Let's just move on from that experiment. Texas Rangers, six games this week, all on the road, three at Philly, three at Minnesota, five right-handed pitchers. And like you mentioned, this matchup, Suarez. We'll see if it's Walker or Turnbull. Zach Wheeler, Bailey Ober, Paddock, Pablo Lopez. That's a tough stretch of pitching right there.
That is brutal and pretty much tied for the worst or the hardest schedule of any team with Washington, which we will get to. So yes, it is a righty heavy week for Texas, but I don't think you can roll with Travis Jankowski against that crew of starting pitchers you just mentioned. I've got a lot of Josh Smith just because he's eligible everywhere and plays versus right-handers. That's a tough start. Ezekiel Duran is still interesting to me because he is, we mentioned him either last Tuesday or Thursday. He is playing every single day, mostly in left field and even against lefties. So Ezekiel Duran, still just 25 years old. I think there's some skill there. I think it's not really like a streaming pick for this week, but I think even in like the midterm, I think Ezekiel Duran, who's hitting .288 with a decent strikeout rate, hasn't shown much power yet, but has a steal, is interesting to me, and I think eligible everywhere too,
all over the place. Duran's a fun one. We wanted it to happen for so long. Seems like it might be happening. Third base, shortstop, outfield eligible in your NFBC formats. All right, you mentioned one of the toughest schedules. Oh, I got a couple to go. Toronto Blue Jays, seven games this week. They get the Chicago White Sox at home for three, then at the Detroit Tigers for four. Fede, Crochet is tough. A Clevenger, good old Flaherty. Manning, Olson, Mize, six right-handed pitchers to play with here. One thing I'll show out, I'll say though, is we always look for, give me the lefties and whatnot. Davis Schneider, he's 85% roster in 12s. Maybe he's available. He's playing every day and over the last couple of weeks hitting over .300. So he'd be a guy I would definitely keep an eye on. But anybody else stand out to you when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays?
No, I was going to call out Schneider. So that's a good call. No one else really stands out. They had, I guess, some kind of like illness.
Yeah.
Like, good God. Springer, Justin Turner, and Kiermaier have all missed time this week with an illness. Bobichette's turning around. Well, Bichette had a good week.
I couldn't hear that. Can you say it one more time, please?
I mean, not as good as O'Neill Cruz's week, but still pretty good week for Bo Bichette. So good pick there. Our beer bet is alive and well between those two.
That'll be a fun one week to week. I can already see it. I almost even sent you a text when you had a 2-run single the other day. That's how bad things have gotten. So
that's low, fun, man.
Yeah,
that's
a low one. Joe Arrico in the chat says for some fun ones here. Random, but Whit Merrifield is 3 games away from getting third base eligibility on the NFBC. So,
yeah,
that could be call. Fun.
I didn't even know he was playing third base. Jesus.
Yep, pretty fun stuff there. And last but not least, the Washington Nationals. They have 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus Minnesota, 3 versus Seattle. 6 right-handed pitchers. But as you mentioned, right, this is Pablo, Joe Ryan, Semien Woods-Richardson might be the easiest one of the midweek. Kirby, Gilbert, Wu. Like, that is not good. Even if you have Eddie Rosario, who's streaking big time right now, it doesn't make you feel real great.
Right. Like, that's a tough start because there's really only one layup in there, and it's Semien Woods-Richardson. I mean, who knows? Like, yep. I mean, Gilbert's been actually kind of bad his last 2 starts, but you know, anything can happen. And actually, I mean, a mea culpa here on Brian Wu. I recommended folks not pick up Brian Wu this past week in Fab because I thought he was hurt.
So did I.
Left his first game with a trainer and his first game back from the IL with forearm. It's like, yeah. But he looked Brian Wu looked really good in his second start. So that does suddenly look like a very tough week for Washington. Just while we're on the team, Trey Lipscomb I think deserves some merit here.
Good call.
10 stolen bases, man. 10 stolen bases for Trey Lipscomb, hitting .252. You know, not great, but he makes contact, 16% strikeout rate, hits the ball on the ground, 65% ground ball rate, kind of a one-trick pony type of guy because the counting stats won't be there hitting. I think he's mostly hitting 9th in Washington's lineup. Actually, he's hit 2nd a couple times. Trey Lipscomb's, you know, if you need speed, he's not the worst option out there, but again, it's a brutal week for the Nats.
Yeah, and it's a good one you mentioned there. I talked about him on first pick.
I think you just muted yourself in StreamYard.
Sorry.
All right, I think we're back.
You're good.
That's like the 5th time StreamYard's done that today. I was going to say Lipscomb's, he's been about the last 2.5 weeks. Like I mentioned him on first pitch, I dug into him a bit. .296 average, 6 stolen bases. What's impressive, you mentioned the contact. It's like 11% walk, 11% K. Now the power sucks, a 0.019 ISO. Like there's no power at all. But everything else, there's some legs to some of the other goodies there. So yeah, don't mind Lipscomb at all. I'm with you on that one.
We do have in the chat a question, I mean, tangentially related to the Nats from Michael. For the weekend and maybe beyond Goldie or Joey Meneses. God, I'm still going to stay Goldie just because. Because
you have to.
Because you have to.
Because
I have to?
Because you have a bet with Goldie on the docket.
Yeah, Christian Walker. God damn it. Why do I bet against you?
Don't worry about it.
Take another swig of that water.
Yep. Don't worry about me.
I would still go Goldie, but I may be wrong there. Joey Meneses is K rate's good. I mean, still just has one homer, but I don't know.
Is that the same amount of homers as Goldie has this year?
I gotta take a sip of my water.
That'd be pretty close.
Does he? How many bombs does Goldie have?
Maybe 2.
It's not many. I know he stole a base. He's got 4. Come on.
Ooh, a whopping 4. There you go.
So yeah, Goldie. Goldie over Meneses.
Plug your nose. Ryan O'Hearn over both. All right. Let's take a look at some of the most added players on CBS this past week. We usually hit most of the hitters. We talked Leody Taveras last week. He should be way more than 36% rostered. There's Schneider. There's Rosario. There's our Oakland. Anybody that stands out to you that maybe we did not discuss, like I'm not rostering Paul DeJong. I don't care how good he's hitting.
Right. Agreed. The strikeouts are through the roof. Mike Tauchman and playing times. Now we talked about. We have not talked about John Singleton.
Not this week.
Yeah, I don't think he's really doing that much. It's kind of a desperation move. We talked about Deron Blanco. Let's bring up Johnny DeLuca. I don't know. Did we talk about DeLuca enough?
Yeah,
Bubba?
Yeah, we did, Ryan. Yes, we did. We talked about how dumb the Rays are.
Should we go back to that? Well,
if you'd like to. Hey, I heard Phil picked him up everywhere. So you guys might want to reach out to Phil and make sure he's okay.
Yeah, make sure he's fine. It is funny. Yeah, we talked about mentioned at least pretty much all these guys. Jake Bowers is up from, again, 1-6%, but
that's hilarious.
It's a, I think we said a 3 righty week for Milwaukee, so you just can't, you just can't roll with that. Tommy Pham is still just somehow.
What the?
We need to talk to CBS, man. 22% rostered in CBS leagues. I don't understand that. That should be higher. did not talk about Nick Gonzalez.
He's playing well. You laughed at me when I mentioned it last week. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a slight chuckle. Nick Gonzalez has some prospect pedigree, is hitting like he's pretty much their everyday second baseman, playing some third as well. And I know hit at least one home run this week. Yeah, hit one home run
today. He won today. He's got two on the season.
Okay. So he's got two homers and a bag playing every day. So Nick Gonzalez, if you're desperate for middle infield help, up from 4-8% in CBS leagues. Just talked about Trey Lipscomb. He's up to 11%, shows up on the list here. It's funny. Yeah, we hit Luke Raley, Dylan Moore, Andy Abanez, Kevin PR. And I don't know. There's not many guys we didn't talk about.
You just highlighted Neto. I know you talked about him in the past. Dude's starting to hit really well and he's running. So if you need middle infield help and somehow he's still around out there for you, fix that. That's just the one thing I would say. He's a very good option. He's 85% in NFBC OCs. So the low roster rate on CBS of 26, that should be adjusted accordingly.
Yeah. To kind of wrap it all up from the hitter side, and we'll get to pitchers in a second.
Don't want to, because that's a rough looking board.
Exactly. But it's rough on the hitter side this week. I don't really see any, like, unless something changes over the weekend. I think this might be one of those fab weeks where you just kind of plug some holes and maybe play a matchup or two and try not to spend that much this week. Cause I don't see anything on the hitting side that gets me like super excited.
That's what it felt like when we were going matchup by matchup, because all the ones like we talked about with good potential schedules, quote unquote, they did not lend to any real good streamable options like the weeks past.
That's valuable info to have too, because I feel like, and maybe it's just me, you get that urge like I need to spend fab this week. I need to spend it just to spend it. There will be plenty of opportunities for big spends and fab, so you need these kind of valley type weeks where you make up for it. So you don't feel forced to spend if there's nothing out there.
And it's like we talked about on this show and other shows is, you know, you make your kind of list of I'm going to spend X amount of dollars per week, blah, blah, blah. But if you overspent a couple weeks on some guys, which we all have at some point this season, this is a great week to kind of make those numbers back, to get back to the kind of pace, as they say. So it happens every year. Like, as the season goes along, it gets murkier and murkier.
Speaking of murkier and murkier, let me move over to the pitcher ads. There's only like, in sheer number, there are only 17 pitchers that are 3% higher in CBS with a 3% increase in roster. So there's just, the pool is quite shallow. And even within the pool, there's like algae and shit in it.
Yeah, algae and shit. Gaster should be gone in most formats. I'm still like, I wasn't heavy into Gaster this past week. The strikeouts just aren't there. Like, I'm just,
yeah, I think profile. Ks.
Yeah, profile scares me.
Honestly. 2 Ks and Gaster's second start. Pittsburgh. So, yeah, although Pittsburgh, well, at least stingy. Against Justin Steele, they
hit lefties. They're hitting lefties well. So, like Trevor Miguel should be much more wrong. Like he's the closer in Milwaukee until Devin Williams comes back. Jalen Beeks is the new closer in Colorado. If you're in for that,
look at Beeks' numbers. Good God, man. He doesn't miss bats, 8% swinging strike. So this is all red on the YouTube page or on the YouTube stream or whatever. 42% ball rate. So he doesn't throw strikes. League average is 36. 42% is awful. And that's trickling up to his K to walk, which is 4%, basically the same number of Ks as walks. Like Jalen Beeks, man. That's just a recipe for disaster, even though he is the guy and has what, 4 saves or whatever. Yep. I can't in good conscience go there.
There's your boy Chris Flexen on the list. So that's fun.
My boy.
Alec Marsh, I've always had a soft spot for, and he's looked pretty good since returning from the IL. So he's one of the few on this list I could be like, okay, I get it. I could definitely see some Marsh love. Michael Kopech picked up like 3 saves in the last week. Yep. So that's another one to look at. That should be much more roster. Like, I'm not the biggest Kopech guy because it feels like horrible ratios with an occasional save and a lot of strikeouts. It's not the cup of tea I'm looking for, but if you need strikeouts and potential saves, Kopech's not a bad one to roster.
Yep. We skipped by Matt Manning. That was a kind of a pop-up.
Yeah, I don't know where.
I don't know, call-up or whatever it was. It was not on my radar last Sunday. And Matt Manning, through 22 innings in Detroit's rotation, has better than average whiff rate and ball rate. So that's probably, honestly, of any starting pitcher this week, Matt Manning is, I don't know what the schedule lines up. Maybe we'll catch that when we talk about two-steppers, if he even has a two-step, I don't know. But Matt Manning's probably my favorite starting pitcher, in addition to Tyler McGill.
Yep, I'm with you on that. That'd be kind of the focus for me on this list, because it's bleak.
And outside of that, as we go further down the list here, Luke Weaver, who is – ratio legend. So again, that's always an avenue if you don't want to pick up Chris Flexen. I'd much rather take Luke Weaver legend. And just yeah, man, ratio legend.
It's just not the first thing that pops to my mind when I hear Luke Weaver's name out loud.
That's true. But yeah, is somewhat reinventing himself in the Yankees pen, which has been awesome. I don't think Clay Holmes has given up an earned run all year.
He's the only closer without an ERA.
That's wild. Michael Lorenzen shows up here, but he's pitched well on the surface, but the skills are god-awful. Have you heard anything about – so Clayton Kershaw's here. You heard anything about Kershaw in terms of just, like, if you want to stash him?
I've heard he's playing catch. I haven't heard anything much more past that, so I'm not in stash mode for Kershaw. Yeah, like, I get it, but I'm not there. No.
It just doesn't seem like he's – watch, tomorrow they'll announce he starts a rehab assignment or something. Yep, it just seems like that's pretty far away.
That's what it feels like from what I've seen. Like, heck, Scherzer was close and he hurt his back again. Now he's shut down from pitching as of like 2 days ago. Like, these guys are these elder statesmen of the game, 38 and older, that I really feel I need to see them actually getting onto like at least a bullpen mound and mm-hmm. seeing some before I get too excited about they're close to returning. Because we got to think with Kershaw, he'll need a spring training ramp up. So we're talking like at least a month of like playing before we see this happen, because they want Kershaw for the postseason. Yep, they don't care about any of this right now.
Yep, that's where I was going with it too. If you didn't mention that, I would have added that on the end. There is no reason to rush Clayton Kershaw. The last two on this list, John Schreiber. I don't know why he's rising, and Joey Estes. I don't even know who Joey Estes is.
He got called up to make a spot start, and yeah, that's how that went. So, so. The A's just traded for Brandon Belak, for crying out loud. So,
That's a name
for cash considerations. I've always wondered what player is cash considerations, but you got that going for you.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun debate someday, or not a debate, maybe, but just like a story to look at all the cash consideration guys. What were the highs and lows that got part of the cash considerations? Like, how it's basically saying, how much are you really worth to me to get off of my roster? Like, that's a rough conversation.
How much can I pay you to go away?
Pretty much. It's like, it's worse than the the arbitration hearing. It's like we don't like you, so we don't want to pay you. No, literally.
So much worse.
What do we have to pay you to get out of here?
Because at least the arbitration guys are usually pretty good and, like, probably a part of your team following year and going forward. these cast consideration guys, you just you don't care. Clearly,
you want a bucket of balls, or can you give me like $6.99? Like, how are we doing this? This is, I'm real curious on how those numbers come to be.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. Matt Manning, Tyler McGill, and I know Spencer Turnbull's not on this list, but Turnbull,
he should be soon.
Is an interesting ad this week, but yeah, it's bad. It's really bad in the starting pitcher streets. And again, so, it's only mid-May.
So if this is bad, let's look at the two-step pitchers for the week, because I'm guessing they're either already rostered or whoof, stand back, everybody, stand back. And we'll kick things off here with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Slade Ciccone gets two on the week at the Dodgers versus the Miami Marlins. And Slade's been like kind of serviceable lately. That's the best way. He's been serviceable, but anytime you see a Dodgers start, you kind of wonder about things.
Yeah, that's a proper way to put it. Like, kind of serviceable for Slade, but I can't roll with that at LA. Like, that just has second. I don't care how good he pitches against Miami, and even that's not a given. I mean, who knows? But at LA is just, that's playing with fire.
Yep, 3% roster to no C's. That'll be a fun one to see how that turns out. Braves is Sale and Morton. Those are already in. Baltimore, Bradish, that should be in. Baltimore or Boston, Tanner Houck at Tampa versus Milwaukee. He's heavily rostered. Just stop me if there's one you'd say no to in these. But nope,
good.
Cubs, Javier Assad versus Atlanta, who he just dominated, and then at St. Louis. Like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's not dropping yet, Ryan.
I mean, that's like the best DRA in Major League Baseball. Nuts. So. The best DRA in Major League Baseball with a, 6% swinging strike. So there's pitch to contact, and then there's 50 feet of crap, and then there's Javier.
There's Javier Saad. Yeah. It's like quite the smorgasbord of what is going on.
I mean, you can't not start him. Good God. He's got a 149 ERA. You can look at all the skills and stats and whatever, but like, until he actually blows up, even if it's Atlanta, like you said, he just pitched well against him.
Yep, got to roll with it. St. Louis is horrible. So he'll probably deal against Atlanta and get blown up by St. Louis. That's just how the gods work. Cincinnati, Andrew Abbott, 2 in Great American versus San Diego and the Dodgers. Oof. It's a lefty versus San Diego.
It is. That's maybe why we need to do some lefty righties on our little thing here. But yeah, it's God.
I'm not doing it.
I don't think I can do it. Andrew Abbott did just pitch pretty well against the Diamondbacks. However, that's the sole reason for that is because he was pitching against Brandon Pfaadt, of course. But I can't do it either. But I know there will be in 15 teamers, he will be started in most spots. But there's major, major blow up potential in that line or in that park against those two lineups.
The one thing I would suggest if you do start Andrew Abbott, do not watch the start.
Like, don't look at your team for
don't
until like, the following Fab.
The following morning, maybe just look at this total stat number, like your points, and you'll know basically how it went. Don't watch the start. That's my one suggestion on that one. Cleveland Guardians, Ben Lively versus the Mets at the Angels. That intrigues me a lot.
Yeah, the matchups are good, and Lively, is he? He's kind of fallen apart in May.
He stepped back of late, but that's still a good set of two starts right there.
Three starts in April, three starts in May for Ben Lively. The K rate's down, cut in half from 32 to 16%. The walk rate has more than doubled from 5 to 12% in April to May. So he's turning back into Ben Lively. The matchups are good, but I wouldn't roll with him in a 12, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe. I'll be debating that on Sunday doing my final Fab looks because I do like him, but I agree it has regressed. But the Mets offense doesn't really scare me, and definitely not the Angels either. So be interesting for sure. It almost feels like a Feltner type thing, to be honest. The matchup wise, at least like that caliber of pitcher. So.
Yep. They're in the similar. Around the right ballpark. Yeah,
Colorado. You got Quantrill at the A's versus Philadelphia. That's a no dog. This Eric Fede at Toronto versus Baltimore. He should be rostered, but I'm going to
throw it out. And Crochet.
I'm starting Crochet. That wasn't even the question. Yeah.
Who's awesome.
Fede's 99% rostered, so I'm guessing people are going to start him.
Well, yeah, he's got a 260 ERA. He had that good, awesome stretch of a couple starts. You got to roll with it. pretty much everywhere. Yeah. You have to.
You have to, but man. Oof. Yeah, you mentioned the 2.6 ERA, 3.57 xFIP. Still, that's not bad. Like, that's something. 3.58 Sierra. You can live with that. You can definitely live with that. We got Detroit Tigers, Reese Olson, Casey Mize at Kansas City versus Toronto.
Yes and yes. Reese Olson, 2.09 ERA in the season, man. He hasn't pitched that well, but misses a good number of bats, 13% swinging strike, and ground ball. So Reese Olson has not allowed a home run all year, so some of that is luck, but also has a 55% ground ball rate. Anyone who keeps the ball on the ground like that is always welcome on Bloom squads.
You know, it's also impressive about Reese Olson, zero wins with numbers like that.
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. Oh my God. Insane.
0-4. 0-4.
How do you have a 2.09 ERA over 47 innings, 8 starts, and no wins?
This gets better. Jack Flaherty's 0-3 to top it off. Detroit Tigers, baby. Detroit Tigers.
God, that is awful, man.
Yeah, two guys that are just dealing for your fantasy teams, zero wins from either one of them.
So get this, on the same rotation, with basically the exact same ERA, Tarik Skubal, 2.02 ERA, he's 5-0.
Well, at least someone's getting runs. Olson's
2.09 ERA, and he's 0-4. That's crazy.
Hashtag baseball.
Yep.
Kansas City Royals, Michael Wacha versus Detroit at Tampa. I think you have to do it.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Yep, that's one you're
given
doing.
Given how bad we just shredded the Detroit lineup, we go with that.
Walker's been serviceable of late. The overall stack line doesn't show, but his last few starts have been actually pretty good with strikeouts to top it off. Angels, Reed Detmers at Houston versus Cleveland, and Detmers has been scuffling.
Yeah, I think it was Joe Arrico, who may still be listening, who had one of the tweets of the year so far saying Reed Detmers has turned from Randy Johnson into Randy Dobnak.
That was pretty good.
Of late with a screenshot of his game log. I like that one. That was pretty good. Even in May, like it hasn't, even for as bad as Reed Detmers has pitched, still missing a ton of bats, 17% swinging strike, and he's throwing strikes, a 34% ball rate for Detmers. And that's in May when he's been getting blown up. So I'm keeping the faith. And I am rolling with Reed Detmers, who has, you know, that 5.19 ERA on the season, but your Sierra, your skills independent ERA, 3.55. So he's been a lot better than the surface stats would suggest.
Yep.
Yeah, Rico in the chat said Randy Dobnak's dad saw the tweet.
Oh, man. That's outstanding. You made it, Joe. You made
family
it.
Family business.
That's a big one. That's a big oopsie. Gavin Stone, you're starting. Ryan Weathers versus Milwaukee at Arizona.
Yeah, I'm rolling with that because, again, the versus Milwaukee, but it's lefty.
Yep. You can have some fun there. Milwaukee, Joe Ross at Miami at Boston. That's tricky. That's tricky.
That's tricky.
Joe Ross isn't good. I'll pass. I'm just going to pass. I'm not going to risk it. I'm just going to pass. I'd rather be wrong than on this one than right. Let's put it that way.
Just, I think in some 15s, he's
15s.
You're
maybe
rolling with it, not in 12s.
Yeah, that Boston start, as much as they're struggling right now, that scares me. Scares me a lot.
Yeah.
Pablo Lopez, you're playing. Tyler McGill, do you start him on his return at Cleveland versus the Giants? I think I do.
Yeah. Yep.
Stroman and Schmidt, you're probably starting both of those.
Yep.
Aaron Brooks versus Colorado versus Houston.
Aaron Brooks?
Yes, Aaron Brooks.
Like,
not the basketball player. Not the basketball player, not the quarterback. Pitcher for the Oakland Athletics.
No.
Just on your answer alone, you have no idea who he is. That's a no, dog.
I mean, how the hell am I supposed to know who this guy is, dude?
He's not great. I had to mention him when he got called up on the first pitch pod. It's like I looked. He was the guy that spent time in Korea. He spent 20 and 21 in Korea. In 2022, he spent some time with the Cardinals, 5 games out of the pen.
To me, Aaron Brooks is from Newport News, Virginia, and played quarterback at UVA, my rival in the 90s. That's who Aaron Brooks is.
That's all that matters then. Philadelphia Phillies, you're playing Ranger Suarez. Pittsburgh, Martin Perez versus the Giants versus the Braves.
Oh,
you get that Giants juicy, just carrot dangling, and then the Braves.
and especially lefty against the Braves.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm out.
Yep. Padres, Cease, King.
Yes and yes, but who knows? Who knows with Michael King? Good God.
Kings and great American small park, and then the Yankees.
I know. Can we give a little shout out to Dylan Cease?
Yeah, the whip is still there, but he's pitching very well.
The whip. It's a 0.7 whip.
Oh, is it down to point? Oh, shoot. Okay,
0.7 whip.
That's actually gotten really good. My bad. I apologize. I saw the 8% walk rate. I expected it to be much worse. Can we talk about the 193 BABIP? Or the 65 point?
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, we can talk about the 193 BABIP. But yes, Dylan Cease has actually quietly been, maybe not quietly, because both of us have faded Dylan Cease for the last 2 years. He's been elite on the surface.
I'm just gonna say this much though. Yeah, strikeouts amazing, walk rate down, BABIP terrifies me. The barrel rate's the second most of his career, most since 2021. So he's giving up hard contact in that regard. His overall hard contact's the best of his career though. This is an intriguing profile. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, there's a lot of I wouldn't be surprised if it went either direction at this point in time.
And even more interesting, despite all that hard contact, the homer to fly ball rate for Dylan Cease is 5%. So basically not giving up home runs.
That doesn't seem right either.
Despite the hard contact. So that is weird.
291 Sierra, 318 XFIP. That's pretty solid stuff. Yeah, kudos to Cease. Definitely on the fade train. And for now it hurts. Seattle Mariners, Gilbert and Wu. Yankees, Washington, both on the road.
Yep.
Logan Webb at Pittsburgh at the Mets. Yep. Sonny Gray. Yep. Taj Bradley. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Josiah Gray, or John Gray, who's been amazing.
Yes.
At Philadelphia, at Minnesota.
Yeah, John Gray.
Give him his kudos. Holy
yes, shit. Has been. If I'm going to give Cease the kudos,
yes.
I'm giving John Gray, because I actually have a bunch of John Gray. And he's showing out. His skills are just as good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not just a little as worse, good, but
they're pretty darn good. But, well, they're just as good for being drafted like 100 picks later.
Exactly. John Gray was very late in draft.
Maybe 200 picks later.
Missing a ton of bats, an 18% strikeout minus walk. Like, he has just been awesome. Yes, the home run ball, he's been lucky with that. But John Gray has been damn good and winning games, right? Oh, he's got 2 wins. Jesus.
Yeah, 2 wins and 9 starts of baseball this year, man. It's just crazy. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 straight quality starts. He basically has 5 quality starts in his last 7 outings because one got cut short, I'm guessing, by weather in Atlanta. But it's been 2 earned runs or less in 8 straight starts.
How many wins in those 8? Well, just 2.
Two. He's got 2 wins in his last 4 starts. And the strikeouts have been pretty, like, 7 or more Ks in over half of his starts. That's pretty good.
John Gray has been awesome.
Yeah, he's been very, very good. Toronto Blue Jays, Barrios, Kikuchi, White Sox, Detroit. That's a yes. Big time.
Agreed.
Mitchell Parker versus Minnesota versus Seattle. I think that's the fall is going to continue, but what do you say?
I'm sitting here nodding my head. I think Mitchell Parker's a start in both of those.
Okay, fair enough. Like, that's another one of those kind of like Colin Ray feelings. Eventually, that's going to blow up.
I mean, Mitchell Parker doesn't miss that many bats, but he throws strikes. He's got good command. I don't know. I think he's a definite in a 15, definite start, and then on that's the fair. Fence in a 12.
Oh, I'll agree with that one for sure. A couple things in the chat here.
Dobnak's, what's the Dobnak family update here?
Yeah. Cicchini says Jason Hayward will be activated this weekend. Still doesn't do anything for me, but good to know for the Outman front and other potential situations there.
Yep.
He also says, I have Ryan's Nola issues with Cease. Somehow I have 0 Cease or Sale. Yeah, Cease I'm just always out on because the whip just destroys your team. But he's proven me wrong this year. Once every 4 or 5 years. Okay, that's cool. I'll still do my thing. But, no, he's doing great. I can't knock it at all. He's doing great.
Yep.
All right, Bloomfield, let's take some listener questions here before we head on out for tonight's episode. We got a few from you guys, more tongue-in-cheek stuff than anything. We've got a few here. But Rand Simon says, would like to hear your thoughts on some possible drops I have on OC rosters. Ian Happ, Jake Berger, John Singleton, DeLuca. Among those on the wire are Nuke Barlow, Perfito, O'Hearn, Tavares, Gorman, Soler. Thanks. Hap, I said I would drop. You said you could understand it.
But I would drop. He listed other guys I'd drop first. I dropped Singleton first. Right. 100%. And I would pick up Ryan O'Hearn
for next week.
One of those guys. And I think he said Leody Tavares I'd probably pick up too.
Tavares would be picked up immediately on this list here. Yeah. Gorman stinks in platoon, so no. But yeah, I'd be good with Singleton, DeLuca in that order as your two drops. And Tavares and O'Hearn in the pickups for me in that order would be where I'd be headed.
Yep, but, I'd hold on to Happ in that situation.
Happ and Berger are close. They're close, but in that situation, you hold.
Yep.
Like my situation, I have Royce Lewis and like Lane Thomas on the IL, so Happ's just a waste of spot I need to churn because I'd rather wait for Thomas and Lewis. That's where Happ goes for me. So
that's why talking drops are so hard. It's just so
there's a lot of team to pick. And I also had to drop Wilson Contreras in that league. Like I had no like place to do anything. It was a rough go this week in Feb. Stephen Crawford says, I'm in a 10-team head-to-head redraft league and have to drop one of these guys to make room for Grayson Rodriguez, hopefully coming off the IL this weekend. Whew. Any recommendations? Okay, he has to drop one of these guys. Again, it's a 10-team league, so this makes sense. Flaherty, Hauk, Bradish, Crochet, and Christian Scott.
Wow. Pick one?
The one to drop to make room for Grayson Rodriguez.
To drop? God, that's tough. Can't drop Flaherty.
Unless you need wins.
Unless you need wins. Can't drop Scott. I mean, seriously, though, I mean...
It's between Hauk and Bradish for me, which is crazy, but that's a 10-team. Bradish has two starts next week, so it's probably Hauk. But
I'd probably drop Bradish.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's a good problem to have.
It's a 10-team. We go. I can support Ryan. It'd be Hauk or Bradish for me. So he's got that two-step with Bradish that looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Your comment about Bubba and the barbecue and getting ready. Chuck says, my guess is he'll need a nap. Breathing Orange Fire says, Joliet Jake of the Blues Brothers would eat four whole fried chickens at a sitting. How many will Bubba eat tonight? I love our followers, man. It's freaking awesome. And then Stephen Crawford had another question earlier when I mentioned the mascot was back. And we'll give a little update for new listeners because we do have some, Stephen being one of them. He says, for new folks to your podcast, why do you refer to him as the mascot? Because we've been pounding the Luis Rengifo drum since like November. I guess and like
And I think it just became a thing because yes, not only we've been pounding the drum, but we did position previews all draft season and Luis Rengifo came up like 5 weeks in a row because he is eligible at like five different positions. So he just kept coming up every single week as a dude. And so we started calling him the mascot. And then it kind of took a thing out of its own because Ron Washington wouldn't play the damn guy.
Yep.
And so everyone just got riled up and it turned into a thing. So
it was fun.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. No, we love Luis Rengifo. If he ever wants to join the show, we are probably his number one podcast fans out there.
There cannot be a podcast that talks about Luis Rengifo more often than
especially in a positive manner like we do. Like
No one can. So like yes, glad our guy, glad the illness is not only the illness is past him, but the foot blisters. That just sounds awful.
Painful. I couldn't even imagine that scenario. But yeah, that's kind of the Cliff Notes version for you. I'm not gonna say go listen to like the 30 podcast before that, but that's kind of where you'd get the hint about what we do with Luis Rengifo. That's our dude. Yep. At least for this season. I don't see it changing really as long as he's playing regularly, but
and we had a listener, Scott Burks, put together a Rengifo awesome graphic,
yes,
of his silhouette on our thing, and we've posted that up a few times when Rengifo does something.
Yeah, one of my favorite pictures of the show. So yes, that was pretty awesome stuff as well. That'll do it, Mr. Bloomfield. Another episode in the books. Another Fab preview in the books. Week 9. My goodness, wow, it's over a third of the way. That's insane to think about a lot. Like people are saying the quarter mark. I'm like, quarter doesn't really, third sounds a lot different to me for some reason. So we're moving right along. So final thoughts as we head into this weekend.
No, you are right. It is not early anymore. It's a good week to not spend much on Fab again, unless something changes over the weekend. And I think that's valuable. So maybe with the old birthday on Sunday, I will spend a little less time on Fab and more time enjoying myself.
Yep.
No, can't do golf this year, but we'll do something.
There you go. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I've got other obligations.
Gotcha. Fun stuff. Hopefully Raj pours you out a good one, good tall one, so you can have some fun with good Raj. But that'll do it, folks. We'll be back with you guys on Tuesday with another Bloom Board episode before the Fab 10 preview on Thursday. We're flying through this one. So hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy. Go have some fun. Get your Fab knocked out. Have a light Fab week, because it sounds like. You can check out Ryan on Twitter there at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Entrick. Until next time, this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 135. Catch y'all later.